You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The 386th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Circus Sports. Circa Sports is back with their Circa Survivor and Circa Millions contests. $14 million are up for grabs. Get all the details at circasports.com.
Hi, yo, DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling and Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 386, going up to Graham Boylan, the main man who runs Cage Warriors. Sending it out to him because of him running an event this week, we get to talk about Cage Warriors today instead of breaking down Bellator versus Ryzen. So there you go. Thanks for coming to the show. I'm one of your hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox. As I mentioned, Cage Warriors is the topic today. I assumed it was going to be Bellator versus Ryzen, but my wise co-host illustrated to me why that wouldn't be a good idea, other than him hating Bellator. So let's bring him in, and he can explain why we're not doing that event. It's one and only Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
So first of all, I do hate Bellator. No hiding my hatred for Bellator. I do actually hate Bellator. And then secondly, that whole card is like, I think I saw two fights on that card where I was like, oh, those odds are something we could talk about, right? Like, if you look top to bottom on that fight card, I think totally the only two fights I saw that were like, oh, that's kind of a close line was Danny Sabatello versus Magomed Karamov and Korshkov versus Larkin. And apart from that, it's like negative 800, negative 550, negative 275, like negative 550 again, negative 450. It's just like there's nothing interesting to say about that card. And that's like kind of always been my knock on Bellator, right? It's just like if there was something interesting to talk about there, I'd talk about it. But there's just it doesn't seem like there is. So this Cage Warriors card, maybe not better in terms of skill level. In fact, I know it's not better in terms of skill level. But one thing I will tell you is there's some lines here you could make some money on. So, although, do you have lines? I forgot to ask.
No, don't have lines. So we're going to have to do the guessing game.
Even better. I prefer that.
Yeah. All right. For Bellator, is there picks that you said there's a few lines you like? Do you want to throw some out for people? Quick ones saying, all right, play that line.
I mean, like, I mentioned that Sabatello fight. I might be in on Sabatello. I'll have to think about that one a little bit more. But I've always kind of liked him. I think I'd stay away from that Korshakov versus Larkin fight. I mean, like if Izawa's line comes down at all from her negative 800, I'd throw her in a parlay, but it's probably not going to come down from that. I think AJ McKee's going to win, but he'll be negative 325 by the time this hits your guys' ears. So like, I don't know. Diace Abe might be a sleeper pick. And always like, I guess if you're looking for a lottery ticket that you want to follow, Okikobu always like brings it. Like, so if he beats Juan Archuleta, I wouldn't be shocked at plus 300. But again, nothing that I'm like rushing to the ticket window for.
Okay. How about this past weekend? How did your picks play out? It looked like we were doing pretty good.
We absolutely smoked it. So once again, last week we did picks for CFFC, Cage Warriors, and LFA. Overall, we wound up going, sadly, just 4-3, which sounds terrible, but give me just a second to hit the totals button here. That put us up $275 on $100 bets for all of them.
Fantastic.
Because three of the wins were underdogs. Two of them, the CFFC picks that I gave you guys, you would have had to get to the ticket window right when I mentioned it. I mentioned it on the podcast, and then I mentioned it in the Discord when the lines came out right away, because Robert Watley and Bad Masarian, Dorziev, they were both listed as large underdogs to start, plus 165, plus 155. By the time it rolled around fight time, both of them were sizable favorites. But luckily me and some of the other folks in the Discord, like Turnip, got in on those boys early, and they cashed big for us. James Webb did not hit for me on Cage Warriors, but both my other picks, the French Solomon Renfro hit and Madras Flaminius hit big. I lost both of the LFA ones, but I actually feel okay about the Elijah Johns one because he was in an arm triangle, didn't tap out, looked like he was going to make it to the end of the round, and the ref just decided it was over. And Johnny Hopper missed weight, which actually made me, in terms of like real money, just pull off of him. I was like, I don't know, even if I trust him at plus 240, having missed weight going into this fight with Will Stark. So overall, good night for me personally. Good night for the picks on the podcast. If you're looking for our year-long numbers on regional MMA, my year-long numbers on regional MMA, 112 wins, 60 losses. So a pretty nice disparity there. And if you bet $100 on every single one of those fights, you'd be up $2,142.
That's why I'm wearing a shirt that says that refers to the Gumby God currently. So
there yes. You go. And I went back and looked through my spreadsheet because I have like a sortable spreadsheet on this one. Of those 112 regional wins, 28 of them have been underdogs, and five of them have been 300 or better underdogs. So you're listening to the right show if you like regional MMA.
Now, is for these lines, is it, as you were referring to a little bit earlier, are these guys you have to get in on early in regional? Do you have to jump on lines quick to get these good underdog values, or do these guys usually stick around underdogs until fight night?
Not always. I would say on like the LFAs and the CFFCs, if you have a line that you like on a guy right away, jump on it. The Cage Warriors ones, I feel like don't move. I mean, they move, okay, but not like most regional MMA. Like Flaminas. I had Madras Flaminas to beat Daniel Skibiski in that fight. When we taped the podcast, he was plus 150 by fight time. I think you could find him at like plus 120, plus 125. So if you waited, you lost a little value there, but he didn't like flip flop. Whereas like Badmazarian Dorziev started at plus 155. He closed at like negative 175. So like a complete swing in the opposite direction. So like you see that sometimes on CFFC and LFA, but I'll also say like you have the benefit of too, when the line comes out, if you got your eyes on the line comes out, just wait a second. If you don't like it, it's probably going to move. And if it moves, you know, terribly in the opposite of direction you were hoping for, well, then it's just a spot you stay away from. And if it moves in the direction you want, like, you know, all the better. I think, you know, getting a good look at the early lines is always important. Keep your eyes on those books that post them early. Like, I know Bet Online is one we talk about in the Discord all the time. It's one of those ones. Just keep an eye on Bet Online. They've always got those lines early.
There you go. A little regional MMA knowledge for you. We're going to give you actually some solid picks, hopefully based off of that knowledge. In 1 second, first I'll tell you about Circa Sports. Circa Millions and Circa Survivor are back. 14 million guaranteed prizes are up for grabs. Circa Millions, you pick 5 NFL picks against the spread each week. And Circa Survivor, you just pick a different money line winner each week. You enter in Vegas and you can play it from anywhere you like. Sports Gambling Podcast will be out in Vegas at Circa the last weekend in August. CircaSports.com for all the details. CircaSports.com. Win the 14 million. Get yourself a ticket to UFC Boston or another UFC event if you like. Get the ball rolling. Pick the Cowboys in week one. This is Gumby. All right, we are moving to Rome, Italy. Not really. We're not really moving there. It would be nice, but we're going there for our picks here. Cage Warriors 158. Hague, is it Hagee? Or is it Haku?
I think it's Hague. Tim Hague.
Tim Hague versus, no, it's not Tim Hague. It's Hague versus Martinoni. And it is Cage Warriors 158, as I said. Fiera Roma is the venue in Rome, Italy. Ever been to Fiera Roma, Dan?
I have not. I've been to a lot of places in Europe, but not to Italy.
Okay. We are starting off. Well, we're going to go there right now. We're going to start off with a bantamweight fights. Gianluca Scatoli versus Sam Kelly. A lot of Italian names in this card. No surprise there. I'll tell you about Kelly first. The Mighty Mole, or is it Mole?
I think it'd be funnier if it was Mole Sauce.
Yes, the mighty Mole Sauce. A 5-1, 2 knockouts, 3 submissions. So he's finished all of his wins. He's never been finished himself. So he's got 1 decision loss. 2-0 in Cage Warriors. He's won 3 straight fights. Used to fight at featherweight. Scatoli, 8-3, 2 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been submitted twice. This is his Cage Warriors debut. He's won 3 straight fights. Before that, he lost 3 straight fights. Used to fight at featherweight as well. And he has a 2011 pro MMA debut. No lines on this one, so it's all up to Gumby.
So let's start by talking lines here. I think Kelly's going to be a sizable favorite. He's probably going to come in here right around -225. And I think that makes a lot of sense. I'm going to take Kelly as well. Scatoli is, if you watch him fight, he's got really good low leg kicks. Like, they're snappy. It's probably the best thing he does, but there's 2 big issues with him. Otherwise, is number one, his hands stay really far away from his face, and not in a way where he's like a karate style striker or a Muay Thai. Well, I guess Muay Thai is a little bit up and in, but like they're off of their face too. It's neither of those. It's like he's a boxer who doesn't put his hands close enough to his face. And that to me is troublesome because he gets hit on the return a lot. And also, between his hands being away from his face and the amount of low leg kicks he throws, he's really easy to take down. He gets taken down a lot, and he really has a bad time getting up. He's not particularly good there. Kelly, on the other hand, like, I think he's not a particularly strong striker in terms of, like I don't think he's going to knock out Scatoli here, even though Scatoli is not necessarily, like, the best defensively. But I think the thing that Kelly does really well is he moves his head. And he keeps it off the center line. When he fought Jack Eglin, he didn't get Eglin down very much, but he did win a lot of scrambles with Jack Eglin. And as we've seen with Eglin, like he's a pretty decent prospect in his own right. So the fact that he did well in the grappling exchanges there is good. He brawls a little bit, which I think might actually work well against Scatoli. But even if it doesn't, I think he's going to win clinch exchanges and grappling exchanges. So I think he's, like I said, -220 favorite here. I think that number is probably fine to play as far as fights on this card. I think I'd play -225. If it comes into the 100s, I'd definitely play it. So yeah, give me Kelly.
All right. You had said about -225 is what your official line was?
I think so. That's my guess, yeah.
All right. We're going to move up to lightweights. Michael Pagani. No, I'm losing my page here. Actually, we're not moving. Yeah, we are moving up. Michael Pagani, or Pajani, probably. Versus James Power. 3 5-minute rounds. Power, 5-0 with 5 knockouts. 2-0 in Cage Warriors. Used to fight at welterweight. That's all I got for him, sadly. Sniper, Pagani. We're going to call him Pagani. 6-0 with 1 no contest. 5 knockouts. This is his Cage Warriors debut. He's won 4 straight fights. 3 straight via finish, and he used to fight at welterweight as well. No Gumby gets to talk for a while.
Yeah, so Pagani is going to be a slight favorite here. I'm going to say ever so slight, probably -135. I bet the public likes him too, being that this fight is in Italy and he's the Italian. So if he does post at -135, give it a second. He might actually go up a little bit more. But I bet you he starts right around -135. You're going to get +115 on the return for Power. And I'm going to take Power here. And the reason being, I think Power is going to be faded because if you've seen some of his fights, the thing that scares people off, I think the most about his style and what he does, despite the fact that he's 5-0, is he seems like he's got a lot of issues with his takedown defense. It just doesn't seem there sometimes. I don't know if there's no urgency getting up or if he just like doesn't have the technique to get up sometimes, but sometimes it takes him a while to get, you know, his ass in gear when it comes to standing back up. But with that being said, he's a very bouncy karate style striker. He's got really quick hands. His hands move super fast. He mixes in kicks enough so that like they're a weapon too. And then in his last fight, was his last fight or second to last fight? One of the ones I was watching for his breakdown, he just like after the guy who is grappling him, was trying to grapple him. He was exhausted after a little bit because he's strong and he eventually got back up. The guy he was fighting got tired. And my goodness, when he lets his hands go, it's ferocious. He started landing these uppercuts. He was bloodying him up. And the guy actually just didn't come out for round three. He was just like, nah, that's good enough for me. I'm done. And Power's got the ability to do that. And the thing about Pagani is he also has good combinations when he throws them. Doesn't always throw them, but when he throws them, he's kind of got good combinations. His defensive striking is not great, and I don't trust him to grapple for more than a couple minutes because he tires. So he's just kind of like profiles as the type of guy that Power is going to tire out and beat. So I would really expect a second or a third round knockout here for Power.
Ooh, there you go. All right. Hopefully an underdog too for us. Let's move back down to bantamweights. Emmanuel Zakaria versus Sylvester Miller. 3 5-minute rounds. Miller is 10-6 with 6 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times. 0-1 in Cage Warriors. He's lost 2 straight fights, and he's only won 1 of his last 4. Did get TKO'd in his last fight. He's not won since July of 2021. Used to fight up at featherweight, and he's also a pro boxer, or was. Zakaria, Thug, is the nickname. 5-1, 1 knockout, 4 submissions, and he's been knocked out once, so he's never gone the distance. 2-0 in Cage Warriors. He's won 3 straight fights, the last 2 via finish. He's not lost since December of 2017. Is a pro grappler and 2 inches taller than Miller.
So first of all, I think this is going to be one of the worst striking fights anybody's ever watched.
Fun.
Yeah. Zakaria, really, really, really bad on the feet. Miller, he throws like somewhere in between Trevor Peak hammer fist and a Rock'em Sock'em robot. It looks like he's swinging lunch boxes at you sometimes. I don't know necessarily that it's a good thing. Like it is sometimes with Trevor Peak. He's really bad at throwing. And the reason both of them are not good at throwing is because both of them want a grappling match more than anything in the world. Zakaria, when he got in the clinch in his last fight, he jumped guard. The guy did not go to the mat with him. So he just kept climbing up until he was damn near in a triangle on the guy. So he's a very fun grappler. He's got heel hooks, all kinds of good finishes with his grappling. Miller is a grappler, but a completely opposite sense of the word. He's like a absolute like bull in a china shop grinder against the cage. He just wants to like grind you out, get you up against the cage, dump you if he can, stick his head on your head. But also, like, he's susceptible to being countered. So he did that in his last fight, and he almost wound up in an inverted triangle, or a rear mount triangle, rather. And so, like, I would imagine that this comes in as a pick'em because they're both so bad at striking. But I will also say this. Wouldn't it shock me if they put Miller in as, like, a massive favorite just because he's, like, stronger and doesn't rely on the other guy to start the grappling? So I'm going to officially say pick him here, but it wouldn't shock me if Miller was a huge favorite. And if he's not, wait, Zakaria will move up. And Zakaria is my pick here because I think Miller is going to bring a grappling game because he doesn't have much else. And I think he's so much worse at jiu-jitsu that he's just going to get armbarred or triangle choked or guillotined from Zakaria because Zakaria is so crafty on the mat. So I believe this is my first Italian that I'm actually taking. In Italy. Yeah, I went 0-2 on the first 2 Italians. I'll take this one. I'll take Zakaria, especially if you can get him at plus money.
Fantastic. And I forgot to tell you when this has happened. This is a Saturday event. So next Saturday, 11:30 a.m. So you can get your Love Cage that. Warriors fixed. Yeah, get your Cage Warriors fixed in before the UFC kicks off that evening. So fantastic. We also love Underdog Fantasy. We're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Best Ball Mania 4 is here. Underdog Fantasy is giving away $15 million in prizes. Underdog Pick'em is also a great way to get down on your favorite MLB and NFL season player props. So many ways to win over on Underdog, and Underdog is available in so many states. Head over to UnderdogFantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
All right, we're already up to the co-main event by my math. Gianluca Rocca versus Guido Possidente. You're going to have to pick another Italian here, Dan, unless you
can't avoid it.
Want to draw. 3 5-minute rounds, 155. Possidente, 3-0 with two knockouts. This is his Cage Warriors debut. Used to fight at welterweight. It's all I got on the man. Rosa Django is the nickname, 7-3 with five knockouts. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. This is also his Cage Warriors debut. He's only won one of his last four fights, but he did win his last fight via knockout. And he also is a pro grappler. Go ahead.
So I think Possidente is going to be a huge favorite here. Like I'm saying, negative 350. And I will tell you this. I'm going to pick him. But if he comes in anywhere near that number, ignore it. Just this becomes a pass fight or a dog or pass fight. I wouldn't bet Possidente until he gets close to negative 200 or hits negative 200. If he's there, sure, play him. Interesting. But if he's the biggest, as big of a number as I think he's going to be here, which is like negative 350, just this is a dog or a pass spot at that number. The reason why I like him is because he is really heavy on his legs. He like sits down on his punches. He throws big. He kind of stays in position to get hit too much. He's pretty good at wrestling, which I like. And with Rocca, he does an excellent job of getting into range, but sometimes then just like measures his punches too long. He'll throw a couple of jabs and be in range. And then there's this like long hesitation before he throws his two. And that for me is a little bit problematic. Sometimes when he throws his combinations, he leans forward so much that his feet just are underneath him. It's like he's almost trying to throw a Superman punch, but hasn't committed to throwing a Superman punch. And for me, that seems cherry picked to wrestle, but also like, I'm a little bit worried because Possidente, first of all, is so hittable that maybe this like weird way of striking will give him a whole bunch of trouble. And also like, if Possidente does stay heavy on his legs, maybe he'll just like he'll eat leg kicks or he'll be easier to hit for Rocca. So I think Possidente is going to win easily here, but I don't like him, like I said, at those big exorbitant numbers. So if you get him down next to negative 200, yeah, sign me up for Possidente. But otherwise, yeah, this is a pass spot for me. This is a parlay buster kind of guy.
All right, we don't like those. Main event time. It's for some gold. Cage Warriors flyweight championship. Shajajul Haig is the champion versus Michelle Martignoni, and it's 5 5-minute rounds at featherweight. Martignoni, the Italian Thunder, is 8-1, two knockouts, three submissions. He's been submitted one time. That's his only loss. 3-1 in Cage Warriors. He's won two straight fights and gone 7-1-1 over his last nine. He's not lost since March of 2021. He is the Cage Warriors bantamweight champion. So this is a champ versus champ fight. He's also a regional champion, or was 1-0 in Bellator as well. 6 years younger than Haig and 4 inches taller. Haig, Superman Haig, 15-5 with five knockouts. He's been knocked out himself once. 7-2 in Cage Warriors, and he is the flyweight champion. He's won five straight fights and 6 of 7. He's not lost since September of 2020. Multiple region championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. And he made a 2012 pro MMA debut. So champ versus champ, who you got here?
So I think this is probably going to be pretty close to a pick'em. I think the books will probably lean ever so slightly in Haig's manner because he's the champ of flyweight. I'll say like negative 125. And then like maybe you'll get, especially because the regional lines usually have a little bit wider of a vig there. You're probably going to see like negative 105 on Martignoni or an even money line on Martignoni. I'm going to go with Haig, and here's why. Like, he's really lanky, but he's like a little bit clumsy on the feet. I watched a couple of his fights and I was like, what the hell is he doing? Like his striking looks clueless. And then the more and more I watch it, I wonder if like the clumsiness and the awkwardness of his striking, is it actually a plan? Like, because it happens so frequent and like it's effective at times. It's almost like Here's a good analogy. He's kind of like a discount Dominic Cruz. He's a dollar store Dominic Cruz in that he's like long and like his striking's weird and shouldn't work, but it does. And like there's something to be said with that. And like Cruz, to further the comparison of my dollar store Cruz here, he's like a dog on a bone when he's wrestling. Like if he doesn't get the first attempt, he switches to the single, he switches back to the double, he runs the pipe, he does all the things he's supposed to do, and he often gets a takedown when he shoots for it. So I think that those things play well, especially against Martignoni, who he might be a little bit faster when he's striking, but he's very predictable. Like in the exact opposite sense of Hake being like this like hard to track guy who nobody can figure out. Like jab, jab, punch, jab, jab, punch, jab, low kick. You know, like it's just like all of his striking is like out of a Bass Root instructional video. And when he was fighting Dominique Wooding for the bantamweight title, he was getting beat up on the feet. He was getting a beat up really bad in that fight. Didn't look like he had anything that could give Wooding trouble. And then Wooding was just tired. And as soon as Wooding was tired, Martignoni took over and wound up winning the fight. So I think Hake has got a better gas tank than that. And in addition to, I don't know what kind of pace Martignoni could push down a weight class. So, you know, I'm going to take Hake and his weird ass striking. And with the idea that I think he can wrestle without getting tired. So, especially if that's a low, if it's a low negative 100 number, I'm digging it. I don't think he's going to move into being an underdog or an underdog unless that money in on the Italians comes in hard. And I'm fading a lot of Italians. So if you guys notice that trend when the lines post and all of a sudden all the money is coming in on the Italians, take a second and fade some Italians.
Take a second and fade some Italians. Perfect way to end it. All right. That's a recap. Hague, he's got hopefully as a slight favorite. At best, Paul Sedente probably is as a big favorite. Pick'em in Zakaria, hopefully an underdog in Power, and probably a pretty big favorite in Kelly. Right?
That's correct.
All right, that's it for this episode. Thank you for listening. We can be found at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord in the Fights channel, on Twitter SGP and MMA, and Gumby Vreeland and Jeff Fox Writer. Sign up for my newsletter. Get my MMA writing in your inbox and enter my pick'em weekly pick'em contest money mma.substack.com. Listen to more Gumby and less of me, no of me actually, at a Top Turtle MMA podcast. Get all your sports gambling needs fulfilled at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. We'll be back Wednesday with our UFC breakdown for the weekend. Gumby, take us out of here.
I'm David Gumby Vreeland. He's the mighty mole sauce Jeff Fox, and we will see you on Wednesday.